Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Russia said today it will not recognise the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. The announcement comes after reports that the court is expected to seek its first arrest warrants against Russian individuals over the war in Ukraine. Reuters news agency reported yesterday that the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court, or the ICC, would formally open two war crimes against Russians deemed responsible for the mass abduction of Ukrainian children and also the targeting of Ukrainian civilian infrastructure during the war. I'm joined now by David Sheffer, former US ambassador at large for war crimes issues and senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. David Sheffer, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Being half Irish, I always want to take your calls.
Well, on this special week where we're celebrating St. Patrick's festivities, you're very welcome indeed to the programme. I'm keen to tap your expertise, David, on the prosecution I just mentioned, but we're also tracking a breaking news story, and I want to ask you about it, given your expertise as well, about reports of the downing of a US drone over the Black Sea. Have you been following that? What's your reaction to it?
Yes, I've just seen the news wire on it. And clearly, this kind of action over international waters in international airspace is prohibited action by any aircraft, whether it be from Russia or otherwise. The United States has the right to fly a drone aircraft. It's an unmanned drone aircraft in international airspace, and Russia, frankly, has no legal right to intercept it. So this is something that might even come before the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, as a clear violation of that convention. But it also demonstrates that the United States is providing a tremendous amount of military support, including surveillance support for the Ukrainian military. And that means that the United States is to some extent engaged in this armed conflict.
I would say that the US would want to react strongly to this, but not rashly. And I see the White House spokesman John Kirby saying that there have been other intercepts before, but this one being noteworthy, he said, because it was unsafe and unprofessional, and it caused the downing of a US aircraft. So it's unique in that regard. That they're the words of John Kirby. We'll watch and keep a keen eye on that one for sure to see if it escalates in any way. But can I ask you about the story at hand, David Sheffer? The ICC on the cusp of issuing arrest warrants, how significant a moment is this in the prosecution of war crimes at the ICC, in your opinion?
It's a very important story, namely the initial step by the court to acknowledge that not only is it investigating atrocity crimes in Ukraine, it is now prepared to actually move towards an arrest warrant, which also sort of means an indictment against someone involved in this on the Russian side, presumably. I would also, though, say that it's not surprising. And frankly, this is low-hanging fruit for the International Criminal Court. These are two categories of crimes: the forcible deportation of Ukrainian children into Russia through these filtration camps, and then also the targeting of the power infrastructure in Ukraine that affects primarily civilian populations. This is so well understood publicly. This is so well known publicly now. Mm-hmm. The investigations have been so well publicized. It would be rather unusual if the International Criminal Court were not moving rather rapidly on these two fronts. That should not understate, however, that or ignore that the court is obviously investigating a wide range of particularly war crimes. And those will take longer because they're more challenging in terms of the evidentiary standard that has to be met before they would go before the judges to seek that arrest warrant.
Okay, so
evidentiary.
Can I ask you about the low-hanging fruit that you mentioned there, the abduction of children and the targeting of civilian infrastructure, which we have seen, David, as you say or allude to, on our TV screens and our news reports since the start of the war, really. But it's one thing, isn't it, to see it in a news report. Quite another thing to prove it in a court of law, even at the ICC, and especially when Russia is saying we don't recognise this court or the jurisdiction of. So in the event that Russia is not there or recognising the court, does a prosecution happen anyway?
Well, the prosecution will not happen because the ICC does not permit in absentia trials. You ultimately have to get the indicted fugitive before the court to stand trial. But I think there's a misunderstanding of this. It's extremely important to establish the indictments. The issue of custody can take years. It can even take decades. We've experienced that in international criminal justice. We're quite used to it now. But it's important that the indictments be there to identify the commission of the crimes as seen through the prosecutor's eyes, and to isolate these individuals, make them international pariahs, and ultimately make them rather unacceptable domestically because they're so tainted. They're indicted fugitives of an international legal process. I think it's important, though, that the indictments proceed as rapidly as feasible. This kind of evidence is really evidence that they don't need witnesses, or they don't suspect. They don't need the suspect in the courtroom in order to bring this evidence forward in front of the judges to justify a reasonable basis for apprehending the individual. Then you go through more levels of evidentiary proof that have to be presented to the courtroom.
And right, I was just going to ask you about that, because if you say custody can take decades, generally in a criminal prosecution, with the passage of time, memories can be hazy and so on, and it can lead to sometimes claims from the defence of an unfair trial if too much time has passed. That is not the case in a prosecution like this, is it?
Not at all. These are crimes with no statutes of limitation. It was many years before Milosevic or Karadzic or Mladic were brought before the Yugoslav War Crimes Tribunal. We're quite used to this now in international criminal law and with the international criminal tribunals, that this is not instant justice. This is judgment that can take years, but it's very important that it be rendered, because you do not want leaders to think that ultimately they can get away with these kinds of atrocity crimes and never, ever face justice. They will have to face justice at some point.
And what about indicting then Vladimir Putin? We spoke with Mary Robinson on this program, one of the elders. She was advocating a special UN tribunal outside of the ICC framework to prosecute Putin. Is that something that should be done, in your opinion?
Yes, that should be done for the crime of aggression, because the ICC has no jurisdiction in this case over aggression in Ukraine. So she's absolutely right. For the crime of aggression, for which Putin is suspect number one, you would need a special tribunal set up by, I believe, the UN General Assembly through a treaty process with Ukraine, and thus enable that kind of indictment and then ultimately prosecution to proceed without enabling Putin to raise what we call the head of state immunity defense, which he could do if, for example, just the Ukrainian courts tried to indict him on aggression. They wouldn't get anywhere because he would raise that defense.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to do a very dangerous thing here and a stupid thing, and I admit that at the outset, but I'm trying to put myself in the mind of Vladimir Putin for a second in relation to any charges that would come from the ICC or any special tribunal from the United Nations. He would probably say, why would I recognize the ICC, for example, when the US isn't a state body or a state participant? And they pick and choose if they want to participate in any ICC prosecution. How would the US, for example, answer that?
Well, first of all, Mr. Putin, of course, will say that. We would expect him to. I mean, he's already publicly yesterday disavowed the ICC, doesn't recognize its authority, etc. So he's fully on record with that position now. But he does have a point. I mean, the United States, in my view, should become a party to the International Criminal Court because we need to demonstrate that our values, as expressed through the statute of the court, are values that we also embrace and are prepared to enforce, and frankly, use the Rome Statute shall we say, weaponize it in terms of using it as an instrument of law mm-hmm. in these kinds of conflicts. So, yeah, he can raise that defense, but frankly, at the end of the day, it's of no consequence because the ICC will have its jurisdiction. A special tribunal will have its jurisdiction, and he'll have to confront that with or without the United States standing by.
You can't evade justice at the end of the day. Look, it's really great to talk to you, David, and thank you very much indeed, as I say, to share your expertise with us. Former Ambassador at Large for War Crimes Issues and Senior Fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, David Sheffer, and have a good St. Patrick's Day. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.